The following teleconference is recorded for Kevin Neuendorf, U.S. Olympic Committee, Monday, January 4th, 2010, 2 p.m. Eastern Time. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for your patience in holding. We now have your speakers in conference. Please be aware that each of your lines is in a listen-only mode. At the conclusion of today's presentation, we will open the floor for questions. At that time, instructions will be given as to the procedure to follow if you would like to ask a question. I'll now turn the conference over to Dave Fisher. Mr. Fisher, you may begin.
Brandon, thanks very much. Ladies and gentlemen, good day, and thanks for joining us today. Dave Fisher here from USA Hockey, and we're pleased to have a few folks here on the call to discuss the 2010 U.S. Men's Olympic Ice Hockey Team, which, of course, you know, we were pleased to announce on NBC as part of the Bridgestone Winter Classic at Fenway Park on New Year's Day. It's an exciting time, obviously, with 39 days to go till the opening ceremonies. A lot going on at USA Hockey, of course, not only including the announcement of the men's Olympic team, but many of us are here in Saskatoon, where the U.S. will face Canada in the gold medal game of the World Junior Championship tomorrow night. That's an 8 o'clock Eastern start, and that can be viewed live in the United States on NHL Network and also stream live on a pay-per-view basis on fasthockey.com. Our under-17 team plays tonight in Ontario, or up in Timmins against Ontario in the championship game of the U-17 Challenge. Just have been made aware that that game will be aired live on the NHL Network in the U.S. as well. So we're pleased about that. And, of course, our women's Olympic team, which was announced here a few weeks ago, practiced at Fenway Park today. They had a tremendous experience there. They're in the midst of the Quest Tour in preparation for the Olympic Winter Games as well. To get us started today, my pleasure to introduce the Executive Director of USA Hockey, Dave Ogren, of course, had a lot of experience in big events on the men's side as part of the 1980 men's Olympic team. Also was the executive director when we won the World Cup in 1996, and I'm sure looking forward to 2010. Dave, we'll turn it over to you.
Dave, thanks a lot. It's a pleasure to be in the call. I thank everybody for taking the time out to talk to some members of the staff and the players today. As Fish said, this is really a very, very special time for USA Hockey, and in the last 48 hours has become even more special. We had a sensational day for the sport at the Winter Classic at Fenway Park on January 1. Just a wonderful atmosphere to introduce the roster of our Olympic team. I'm on my way back from Saskatoon right now for other business, but the United States team is excelling up here and will play Canada in the gold medal game of this hugely important tournament tomorrow night, which is a position we love to be in. As Dave said, in the under-17s, we're doing exceptionally well there as well. And we're coming down the ramp now. We're inside of the window. It's less than 45 days to the drop of the puck on what might be the greatest hockey tournament that's ever been played in Vancouver. I think everybody knows that historically, since the NHL players got involved in playing three Olympics ago, this tournament has been wildly competitive. In three gold medal games, six different nations have been represented, which is a real testimony to how wide open this is. I know that Brian and Ron and the players in this team are committed to going up there and winning this whole thing, and I have the absolute utmost confidence in Berkey, in Ron, in our staff, and I think that the roster that's been assembled is sensational. It's obviously a new generation roster, but all of this comes together just for an incredibly exciting time for USA Hockey. And we hope that the success is going to continue, and very, very much looking forward to the games in Vancouver coming up real soon.
Thanks very much, Dave. And Brian Berkey is the lead architect of the 2010 U.S. Olympic men's ice hockey team, the general manager, as you know. Fun, as you all know, he's passionate about the game, and it was fun to see the excitement on his face after the game here in Saskatoon last night. And I'd like to turn it over to our general manager at this time, Berkey.
Thanks, Dave. To the people on the call, thank you for joining us. We're grateful for the media coverage of the Olympic team and the build-up to the tournament, because this is a chance when we get a lot of people watching hockey that don't normally do so. A lot of non-NHL fans follow Olympic hockey. It's a chance for us to attract a new fan base and grow the one we have. So we're extremely grateful for all your coverage, regardless of what it's about. We're grateful that you're spending time and effort on us. So thank you. We're excited about what's happening, obviously. You name your roster. Now you start, you're on an airplane like I just was. You're doing line combinations and power play combinations, all the stuff the coach will do, not me, but you're playing with it in your mind. And we're excited. Now, we've named the team. Obviously, as Dave mentioned, Dave Ogren, we have turned the page generationally for USA Hockey. That was not done without a great deal of agonizing thought on the behalf of the committee that put this group together. But we're excited about a team that we think has balance and versatility and speed and youth. And the team is fully 5 years younger on average per man than the last two Olympic entries for Team USA. So the games are in sight now. We know our team. It won't be long before we're all getting on planes to go there, and we're extremely excited. So thank you for joining us today, and I'll turn it back over to Dave Fisher.
Thanks, Brian. The head coach and of Team USA, certainly one of the most accomplished coaches in the history of our game. It's our pleasure to have Coach Ron Wilson on the call today. Ron?
Thanks, Dave. Obviously, I can reiterate what everybody said. It's an exciting time for us. Officially, I'd like to wish the junior national team all the best of luck. They've made us very proud and played very well in the tournament so far. And keeping my fingers crossed for a great result tomorrow night. We're 6 weeks away from really becoming a team on the ice for the first time. That'll be Monday when we practice at 6 o'clock in Vancouver. I was just looking over our roster, and I'm very excited about this team. I've managed over, partly due to the World Championships last year, with Jamie Langenbrunner's participation in the 98 Olympics, and some of the other fellas. I've coached 12 of these guys in the past, so I have some familiarity. Obviously familiar with every player due to myself coaching the Leafs in the NHL. I think we're going to be a very quick team, obviously solid in goal, a very mobile defense with a lot of upside, and for me, the right kind of balance that that we're going to need up front, some real high-end skill and speed, and then some guys who can muck it out and grind it out with the best of them in our league. So I'm really looking forward to this challenge. I've sent out emails to all of our players congratulating them and letting them know what to expect. I think shortly, maybe not officially, but myself and the other coaches along with Brian and other management people, we've narrowed it down a leadership group and we'll name a captain. I'll get some feedback from those guys as to what the players wish in terms of information before the Olympic Games come along, and we'll just show up and have a practice and be ready to play. I'm really looking forward to it.
Thanks, Ron. And next we have a couple of the players of Team USA. Ryan Miller, of course, played college hockey at Michigan State. He leads the National Hockey League in shutouts currently with five, one of them coming, of course, last night, and has helped the Buffalo Sabres to the Northeast Division lead at this point in the season. And Ryan, please go ahead.
Just thanks to everybody tuning in. Just very excited for the opportunity to get to Vancouver. It's going to be a great opportunity to wear the colors for the country and also get back to tournament play. It's been a few years since I've done that, but I'm looking forward to it. And to have it be the greatest tournament we have in hockey, I think it's going to be a lot of fun.
And finally, before we get to your questions, Zach Parise, better than a point a game thus far in the season, has helped the New Jersey Devils to the Atlantic Division lead, played his college hockey at the University of North Dakota. Zach?
Thanks, everyone, for having me. And like Milby said, I think we're all looking forward to it. You hear a lot of speculation on teams and everything, and then once the roster's finally announced, you start to get a little more excited for it, I think. We know we still have a lot of hockey to play with our own teams until then, but a lot of the guys, with Jamie and Pauly being out here too, we've been talking about it and getting really excited. So, we like our team, and we just can't wait to get up there and start.
Before we get to your questions, just know too that this call is being recorded, and we will post it on USAHockey.com later today. Best way to reach me if you need to after this is over, if you have any questions or immediate needs, is on my cell phone up here in Saskatoon at 719-684 5940. And let's bring Brandon back now to take us to the question and answer portion of today's call. Brandon?
Yes, sir. At this time, we will open the floor for questions. If you would like to ask a question, please press the star key followed by the one key on your touch-tone phone now. Questions will be taken in the order in which they are received. If at any time you would like to remove yourself from the questioning queue, please press star 2. Again, to ask a question, press star 1.
And Brandon, if I could just jump in here too, just to give everybody an opportunity, if we can just limit, make sure you direct your question to a particular individual, and if we can just limit it to a question and then a follow-up, and then if we have time to come back around again, that would be appreciated.
Thank you, sir. Our first question will come from Elliot Allman of San Jose Mercury News. Please go ahead.
Hi. Thanks for everybody being on the call. I'd like to direct this to Ron Wilson, please. Ron, you pointed this out that you have familiarity with a lot of these guys. In particular, one guy from your days in San Jose is Joe. And can you talk about what it means to be a coach of a young kid like this coming up, and now you're bringing him to the Olympic umbrella? What you can just explain what it means as far as knowing his tendencies and how to use him?
Well, certainly. I really enjoy coaching Pav in San Jose. He's a very intelligent player. He's what I would call a gamer. We always call him a rink rat, the kind of guy who's first at the rink and last to leave. I think I played maybe a small part in his development, but if you give Pav all the credit, he's done all the work necessary in the summertime to make himself a little bit faster and obviously a lot stronger. You can play Pav in just about any situation, be it on the power play. In particular, I think he's an excellent penalty killer. And of all the guys we have on our team, he's probably the best face-off man. I think that was something that went into consideration. He's hovering around 60%, which is quite a bit better than most of the rest of the guys we have on our team taking face-offs. So I think he should be pretty excited. I haven't talked to him. I know he played really for the first time for Team USA last year at the World Championships. He came in a little late, struggled at the beginning, but then found his game in the last couple of games. And I think he really enjoyed representing his country. I know his family a little bit. I think they're going to be really excited as well. That's in general all the players. It's not just the players. It's their families and all the their coaches and volunteers, as well as their brothers and sisters, and more importantly, their moms and dads, who spend all the time and effort into allowing a player to reach this kind of or get this kind of an opportunity and reach a dream and a goal that they probably set since they were little kids.
I actually had a follow, if you don't mind. What does it mean in the Olympic arena, coming out of these club teams in NHL? For example, the Sharks on a club team, does that help a lot when you come to the international tournament?
I'm not exactly sure what you mean, other than you mean like the Jumbo Joe line there, all playing together? Is that what you mean?
Yeah, instead of just coming together for this tournament, these guys know each other, for 3-4 months already. They've been playing together.
Well, in some cases, 3 or 4 years. Certainly that helps some familiarity. And these guys have played with each other on national teams, whether it's a World Championships or an Olympics. But with it being on an NHL ice surface, if they decide to keep that line together, that's a little bit of an advantage for those guys. But you also have to remember they'll be playing with some different defensemen. So it's kind of tough to get the chemistry put up together in a hurry. On our team, we've got a lot of guys who've played with each other in various levels of hockey, not maybe with each other in on their NHL teams, but in general, World Junior Championships, World Championships, in some cases, World Cups or previous Olympic Games. So you hope that as quickly as possible as a coach that chemistry develops between the players.
Thanks so much, Ron.
You're welcome.
Thank you. Our next question will come from Kevin Allen of USA Today. Please go ahead.
Hey, guys. Thanks for doing this. I have an original question for Ron Wilson and then a follow-up for Ryan Miller. Ron, could you just talk about, obviously, goaltending looks like it's going to be one of the strengths of the team. Can you just talk about your philosophy in terms of, you know, using both two goaltenders or, you know, whether you will ride the hot goaltender throughout? It looks like the schedule is conducive to that. Can you just sort of address that generally?
Well, in general, I would, in my mind, tend to, and I think for consistency, play one goalie, ride the hot goalie. You know, one of our things here was when we talked about, and with our players as well, is we're not going to Vancouver to prepare anybody for Sochi. This is about going to Vancouver to win a gold medal. And generally speaking, the teams that have, if you look in the past, that have won the gold medal have played one goaltender. And it's not unlike what you do in the playoffs as well. And more than likely that's what I would do, but we'll see when the time comes.
And I have a follow-up for Ryan Miller. You know, Ryan, obviously you've had a tremendous start to the season. There's a lot of talk about how well you've played. And I wonder if this is just sort of a natural evolution of your game, or was there anything that you've done in preparation for the season that has allowed you to take that game even to a higher level than you were at last year?
It definitely comes down to preparation. I've been, and it's also an evolution. I've learned what works for my game and what doesn't, and also, you know, what works in my training. My summer was spent focusing on things that would allow me to get through a season and make improvements on the ice, and I guess it's kind of been both. It's been a focus on just trying to get myself to the highest level I can be at, and I feel like I can be a top goaltender in this league. And do it at a consistent level night after night. So I was just trying to find ways to train for that and prepare for that.
Is there one difference in your game that's you know, significant from last season?
There's a lot of little things that I think go into it, but I think I've been benefiting from you know, our team playing a little bit tighter system. I'm able to make better reads. I can commit to my reads, and I think a lot of it comes down to challenging the shooter and being, I've worked a lot of my footwork and my positioning, just trying to simplify the game so I can commit to something and execute the save. You know, there's not a lot of wasted movement. I think that's been a big key.
Thanks a lot, Ryan.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you for your question. Our next question will come from Craig Custance of the Sporting News. Please go ahead.
This is a question for Brian. Brian, you said in Boston, and you talked about the importance of the guys who didn't make the team and them playing well. I mean, if injuries come up and that kind of thing, how closely are you guys still scouting those players, or do you basically have a replacement list at this point you would just plug in?
There's been no change to our scouting pattern. We're still covering every game we go to, and we'll have to, if we have to chase guys, we will. We did in the 10-day period before Christmas was we had guys chasing specific players when their teams were not playing. We were flying in and watching games when our teams were not playing. And we'll do the same thing here if we need to. But in the meantime, it's the same, you know, scouting pattern. You go to a game, you rate all the American players there. I have a short list in mind, but again, I'm a big believer in players doing specific tasks on a team. So if an injury is to a top six forward, you're looking to replace some of the top six forward. If the injury is to more of one of your pick and shovel guys, then you're looking for a replacement that can do that same line of work. So I have a short list in mind, but we're still going to do it the same way and maintain the same rating consistency and viewing consistency. And so if a guy does really crank his game up between now and then and there is an opportunity for him, then we'd be able to take advantage of that.
Thanks. And a follow-up, second question, and this is for Zach. I read a Canadian report that said, you know, in their opinion, you were the only guy that could crack Team Canada. I wanted your thoughts on that in defense of your teammates. Do you think a few of these other guys could play for Canada?
Well, I mean, I think, you know, we've got some pretty good players. I didn't hear that. But, you know, I'd like to think we have some pretty decent players on our team, too. That's a pretty bold statement. But, you know, I think with a guy like Stastny, who's a point-of-game player in the NHL, you know, a guy like Kessel, who's one of the good snipers in the league right now. I mean, I think that's kind of a bold statement, and I don't think there's going to be too many people that would agree with that.
Hey, Craig, make sure you send me that article so I can put it up in our dressing room.
I'll do that for Ricky. Thanks, guys.
Thank you for your question. Our next question comes from Brian Gomez of the Colorado Springs Gazette. Please go ahead.
Yeah, for Coach Wilson, can you just talk about Paul Stastny, just what you like about him, what he brings to the team?
Well, he's probably our best center in terms of being creative. I like how strong he is on his feet, his quickness. I like how he makes guys around him better. And, you know, this will be a big opportunity for him to make a statement at this level. He's obviously accomplished a lot in a very short period of time in the NHL, but now he's going to have a real opportunity to shine. More than likely probably play with Zach as well. I think that's why Zach mentioned his name.
I didn't know that.
What's that?
I said I didn't know that, but thanks.
yeah. So, he's just an exciting player, and he's really strong on his feet, and we're going to need every bit of that from people like Paul and Zach and all of our forwards, because we're going to be facing every team you play against, even a team like Switzerland. You're going to have to be on your toes. You're going to have to win battles. You're going to have to go to dirty areas if you want to score. This is going to be NHL Stanley Cup playoff hockey single elimination after we get by the first three games. But even those games, the intensity is going to be there because of the importance of every point you get early in the tournament.
Talking about making that jump for a young kid like Paul, how intimidating can that be, you know, going into your first Olympics at just given how young he is?
I don't think it's intimidating. These are things that you dream about. And most young players aren't intimidated at all. Oftentimes it's your older veteran guys who are trying to figure out how they can dig down into the well one more time to bring it. I think we have a little bit of everything on this team in terms of helping people understand that this shouldn't be viewed as intimidating. This should be viewed as having the time of your life. That's how we're going to approach this.
Great. Thanks, Rod.
Yep.
Thank you for your question. Our next question will come from Ira Padel of the Associated Press. Please go ahead.
Hi, guys. Thanks for doing the call. I have a two-part question. The first is for Brian, the second for Zach. Brian, of the three guys that you brought in that have Olympic experience, two of them are captains, and Jamie and Chris Drury. How important was that to their resume to bring that leadership quality into the team? And for Zach, can you please just talk about Jamie as a captain and what you think he can bring to this team that's, you know, going to be put together on such short notice?
It was very important. When you assemble a team, especially for a short tournament, leadership is critical. We spent a lot of time on this as we identified the players, what roles they might have, constant assessment. Would this player be a part of our leadership group? Is he a type A or a type B personality? Is he wearing a letter now? Has he worn a letter on a U.S. team before? These are all things we talked about in great, 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 great detail and at great length, because I think it's a critical component. And in my mind, I think we have, we've got several guys who are captains of their teams. I think we have leadership. I think we guys have guys who have demonstrated that at the NHL level and in international competition before that. And I'm comfortable with that part of our group.
And Zach, can you just talk about Jamie's leadership abilities and what he brings to your team and what he will bring to USA Hockey as well?
Well, he's been a really good captain for us. I think this is his maybe third year. And he's done a really good job in the dressing room. You know he's going to come to play every night. He plays hard. And for me, even I get to sit by him in the locker room, but you get to see just the way he carries himself when things are going well, and even when sometimes it's most important when things aren't going well. From him on a personal standpoint. So it's good for me to be able to watch and learn with the experience that he's had, and not only playing in the Olympics, but in the NHL too, with winning the Stanley Cups and how much success he's had in this league. It's really good, and our young guys on our team now are really learning a lot from him.
And to finish on that, from our just one other observation, Ron and I are both big believers that leaders lead, regardless of whether you acknowledge them with a letter or not. We expect guys on this team that are leaders to act as leaders, whether they're selected to wear a letter or not.
Thanks, Brian.
Thank you for your question. Our next question will come from J.P. Hornstra of Los Angeles Newspaper Group. Please go ahead.
A question for Brian. Looking specifically at the defenseman that you chose, what type of a defensive unit were you hoping to build with this team?
We're trying to blend skill and size and guys that can log top 4 minutes. Obviously, again, short tournament, dramatic impact of results. We try to identify people that consistently contribute at high levels and big minutes in our top four, and then round it out with guys who could chew up minutes in other situations, specifically shorthanded, four-on-four, and take some of the workload off those guys last minute of periods. So that was the thinking. It was, we tried to get some beef on the hoof back there, tried to get some guys who could play big body hockey, but also get guys who have shown they can log minutes and play at a high level.
Thank you for your question. Our next question will come from Jake Duhane of FoxSports.com.
Gentlemen, I guess the question is for Ryan and Zach. How quickly or how easy was it to develop some type of connection with players you'll be playing with at that camp in August, and how much of the logistics of the Olympic Games was brought up during that camp in terms of just managing the media circus and managing the quick schedule between games and practices?
Right. Ryan.
Okay, I think in general it's pretty easy to come together. We're all a good group of guys. I think that that stands out amongst the players that are high on the list of USA Hockey. We're all quality people, so I think when we got together it was really easy to talk and interact and get excited about the prospect of being teammates with one another. It was a lot of fun to get to know some of the guys I had a chance to talk with a lot, and now that we've, finalized the roster, it's going to be a lot of fun, having a really great life experience with these guys.
Zach?
A lot of guys are already familiar with each other, so it's pretty easy. We had a lot of fun down in Chicago, and you kind of got the sense that it was almost like we'd been playing together for a full season. We've talked a lot about the not a lot of practice time, just coming ready to play, and I think it's been stressed on us quite a bit that we're going up there for one reason, and a lot of the other the other stuff, the off ice stuff, is going to be handled for us. We can just focus on being there and playing hockey, and if you got guys that you're comfortable with right away, that just makes everything a lot easier.
I think everyone knows, of course, David Poile is the associate GM of the team, joining Brian Burke and Ron Wilson's assistants, John Tortorella and Scott Gordon. Brandon?
Yes, sir. Our next question will come from John Powers of the Boston Globe.
Yes, sir. I have a question for Brian. Brian, I know there was some disagreement, certainly by the NHL, about the Russians' contention that they can change their roster all the way up until February 15. Could you give us a clarification as to what your understanding is from the IIHF now?
Our understanding is that hello, John, by the way. We cannot change that roster except to replace a player who was unable to participate due to injury.
Mm-hmm. But apparently the IIHF sent a note, I think, to ESPN.com saying that that they could change it no matter what, whether or not the players were hurt.
Well, and we received one of the guys, I don't know if he's on the call, Scott Burnside, had pursued this angle also and had received supporting information to what you just said. In other words, that the Russians were in fact free to change their roster. But we are bound by more than the IHF agreement. We have a deal with the IOC as far as naming the team, and the understanding between the NHL and the NHL Players Association, my understanding is this roster is final, except in the event that a player is unable to participate due to injury.
Yep.
You know, John, and I, this is Dave. I think Jim Johansson might be on the line. I don't know. Do you have him on here, Brandon? He could add something to that.
What's the party's name, sir?
Jim Johansson.
I can find it.
He might be at the rink, but if you can get him to just chime in on this, because I know this has been a little bit of a confusing issue that, and I think Berkey meant to say USOC instead of IOC, by the way.
Yes, sorry, USOC.
Yeah, USOC, you said. Yeah.
I don't care what the Russians do or say. If the IOC says they've complied with the rules, that's fine.
Yep.
We're not worried about that. We're only worried about Team USA.
Mm-hmm.
We have announced this team. That's the team that's going unless players are unable to participate due to injury. I don't care what the agreements are. We've given our word to these players that they're on the team, and God damn it, they're going.
Okay. Thank you.
Mr. Fisher, I did not see Jim Johansson. He may be on another line with someone else.
Okay. No problem, Brendan. Thank you.
You're welcome. Our next question will come from Mike Morilla with NHL.com. Please go ahead.
So, well, thanks for taking the time to do this call. Congrats to Zach and Ryan. I have an original question for Brian and then a follow-up for Zach. Brian, at orientation camp in August, you stated your desire to take 8 defensemen, which you ended up with 7. Could you just talk about that decision?
Yeah, I got overruled by the group. I mean, David Poyle is the associate GM. We have, and I would like to acknowledge these guys every time. The committee is really 7 guys, Jim Johansson, David Poyle, associate GM. But then we had 4 other GMs that have helped us from day one in this process and have been instrumental. That's Paul Holmgren, Donnie Waddell, Dean Lombardi, and Ray Shiro. And the group and Ron Wilson weighed in as far as 13-7 or 12-8, and I was in a very, very, very small minority. And I think part of being a good manager is acknowledging when your staff wants to do it a different way, then you say, okay, let's do it. I've not wavered in my view on this, but I've acceded to the view of the group.
And Zach, while there's obviously a lot of excitement, heading into the Olympics here, as a player, do you approach it any differently in an Olympic game than an NHL game?
I don't know. I mean, for me, being the first time, I guess we'll find out in February, but I don't mentally or anything, I don't approach it any differently. Obviously, there's going to be more excitement in a single game elimination throughout the end of the tournament. I think, the intensity is going to be unbelievable, but I just don't, from my standpoint at least, I try not to approach it differently because then I think, sometimes you can step out of your game, you can step out of the reason you're there and the reason you got picked. So and that might change too, but as far as I'm concerned right now, it's just try to not get too worked up and too excited about it.
Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question will come from Chris Stevenson with Sun Media. Please go ahead.
Hi, Brian, I thought it was interesting off the top with you mentioning about taking that leap across the generational divide, and just how difficult was it for you to kind of to strike out in a new direction and not include maybe players like Modano and Guerin, and if you spoke to each of them, just the tone of the conversation?
We first off, it was extremely difficult. I mean, and the reason is it's not. I mean, these guys took over for a generation, too. I keep calling them the greatest generation, stealing the line from Tom Brokaw's book.
Yep.
The greatest generation of Americans. In the history of U.S. hockey, that group performed with such they answered the bell every time they were asked to go. It's easy to say no when you're asked to go play. You've just played a whole NHL season and someone has to get on a plane and go to Germany or Switzerland or Sweden or Russia. It's easy to say no. These guys all went. They went when it was important, and they went when it wasn't important to them. They showed up. Remember Doug Waite coming over on a plane in 93 when I was the general manager in Germany? You know,
yep.
We called and asked him, boom, got on a plane. So, well, one thing, it's hard to turn the page on. Their loyalty was so, their patriotism and their loyalty were so rampant, and it was so evident that basically these are guys who have stepped up. So to say to those guys, not this time, that's hard to do just based on their loyalty. Second, based on their performance, these guys accomplished some good things. You know, and we had big name recognition on that those teams. So it's hard on lots of fronts. We contacted every player who was a former Olympian or who was at the orientation camp or had been involved at certain levels before. The group divided up the guys who were not going to be named, and we called every single one of them starting on the 29th. And it was based on what day that player was playing. So if he was playing on the 29th, he didn't get the call on the 29th.
Yep.
And then the 30th and the 31st. Then the guys who made the team received a call on the 1st. I did not speak to Mike Modano. I left him a voicemail. I did not speak to Bill Guerin. I left him a voicemail. I got back a wonderful voicemail from Bill, typical class, saying you know, he's disappointed, would have loved to participate, but he understood, and he said, I wish this new group nothing but the best.
Thank you. Thank you for your question. Now our next question will come from Joanne Barnes of Detroit Free Press.
Yeah, this question is for Brian and for Ron. Brian Rafalski is one of the few players on the team with Olympic experience, and at 36, I believe he's the oldest. Can you both talk a little bit more about Brian and what you expect him to bring to the team this tournament?
Well, I'll go first, and Ronnie can talk about specific components. For me, he's an easy selection because he's got a high skill level, he's a winner, and he's a real smart player and a good guy.
Hi, this is Ron. No, I agree with exactly what Brian said. He's got a wealth of experience. He's won a few Stanley Cups. I think that's huge. He can play in a pressure-packed environment. He plays when he's hurt. He's not a loud guy in the room at all, but he gives you everything he has. One of the things that I really like about our defense that I thought was really important is the defense's mobility. And obviously I think Brian is as mobile a defenseman as there is in the league, and you combine that with his experience, he can only help some of our younger, maybe less experienced defensemen excel in a tournament like this.
Great, thank you.
Thank you for your question. Our next question will come from Joe O'Connor of the National Post. Please go ahead.
Yeah, question for Brian. Brian, obviously you work in the Canadian market and have heard, I assume, the buzz and the ballyhoo around the Canadian Olympic team. What sort of expectations are you going to Vancouver with, and do you see your team as underdogs in this tournament?
Well, we are underdogs. I mean, you go to Vegas a week before this tournament, there ain't going to be a penny bet on us. Everyone's going to be betting on and talking about Canada and Russia, and to a lesser extent, Sweden. This is not, we're not manufacturing underdog status. That's what we are. We're going to be the youngest and maybe the smallest team in the field, and that's fine with us. We don't mind going in under the radar. But, you know, as I said to our players in Chicago at our orientation camp, no bold predictions. No bulletin board stuff. We are going there to win. And that's what we're going to do. And we picked the team that we think gives us the best chance to do that, the coaching staff that gives us the best chance to do that. There were no safe picks on this team. There was never a discussion, well, you know, we will get criticized if we take this guy, and we'll get criticized if we leave this guy off. We said, let's identify the components we want in terms of jobs and tasks on the team, and let's fill them with the most qualified people. And if you look at the reaction, you know, that's come out, I've gotten thumped at a bunch of places for our selections. And this player was left off, this player was left off. We put this team together with one mission. And are we underdogs? Yeah.
Now, a lot of sort of apropos of what's going on in Saskatoon and Tuesday's junior final, Canadians, when they do play in America, there's maybe nothing sweeter than beating the U.S. and also nothing more heartbreaking than losing to them. How is it? What's the American perspective on playing Canada?
Well, Canada is the U.S. archrival. So there was a time when Russia and Canada, that was their archrivals, and their primary opponents in international hockey were Russia and Canada. And now for the U.S., beat a Russian team to advance the gold medal game at the Miracle Game when they beat Finland. And there was a time when there was a talk of Russia, but the primary opponent, the most visible, most successful opponent is Canada. So those games are special when those two teams play. The game on New Year's Eve was special. That was a great hockey game, and I expect nothing less tomorrow night. I expect a great hockey game. So the heartening thing for us is, in particular, with credit to the under-18 program in Ann Arbor, USA Hockey has given us more high-level players than ever before, and it is a rivalry now. You know, this team, that was an overtime loss the other night, or a shootout loss for USA. There was a time when the Canadian team would have absolutely steamrolled the U.S. team, and now those teams are exciting and close. So living in Canada, I see it firsthand. I feel the buzz. I mean, they showed me on the scoreboard last night in Saskatoon, and they booed the hell out of me. And I don't know. I know why they don't like me in Alberta, but I don't know why they booed me in Saskatchewan, unless it's this. And that's great. That's exactly the way it should be.
Well, thanks for your time.
Thank you for your question. Our next question will come from James Myrtle of Globe and Mail. Please go ahead.
Hi, this is a question for Brian. Brian, you look at your own team, the Leafs in the NHL, and their schedule this week where they got four games in 5 days. Do you worry at all at what the Olympics does to the NHL schedule and to teams like yours?
Yeah, of course I do. The concentration in the Olympic years, the concentration of the schedule. Now, when I worked at the league and was involved in doing the schedule inaugural year, it worked out, and Gary Mahar, I'm sure, can get you the statistic, but the year in Nagano, it worked out to an additional game every 3 weeks or 18 days, something like that. It wasn't a crushing burden, but, yeah, there's compression, and I do worry, and it looks like we're going to have several, you know, like we're not sure with Mikhail Grabowski's injury, but we're going to have several guys in the Olympics. We're going to be a team that's directly affected by it. Yes, I worry about it. And this is when everyone says, oh, they got to go to the Olympics, they got to go to the Olympics. They don't talk about the schedule and the impact on the players. But I also feel, having worked in the West, I don't think teams in the East should complain about the schedule much.
Thanks.
Brian, we have time for just a couple more?
Actually, sir, that was the last question.
Okay, perfect. All right, thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen. Appreciate your coverage. Like Brian said, again, if you have any immediate needs, feel free to call me at 719-684-5940. And thanks to our participants, Brian Burke, Ron Wilson, Dave Ogren, Zach Parise, and Ryan Miller as well. Have a great day.